We are going to be going over New Covenant Living. And the title of my message this morning is New Creature Covenant. The New Creature Covenant. This is going to be some of the most relevant and revolutionary life-changing things that you have ever heard. Some of you may have heard some of these things before. But no matter how often you've heard them, I believe God wants to speak freshly to you this morning. God has things He wants to say to your heart. Don't close Him off. God has things He wants to speak to you, whether you've heard this before, whether you've never heard this before. In one way or another, God wants to impress something on your heart that will change your life. I guarantee you, this day will change your life. Let's just bow our heads and ask God to teach us this morning from His Word, and then we'll continue. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your grace and for Your goodness. And we thank You, Lord, this morning for trials. We thank You, Lord, this is Your service, this is Your building, these are Your instruments, and we're Yours. You do whatever You want. You can do whatever pleases You. Your ways are beyond our understanding. We thank You, God, this morning for Your Word. And God, this morning, open our hearts and open our eyes that we might understand wonderful things from Your law. We pray, O God, that our appetites would be hungry to hear from You. You told us to open wide our mouth and You would fill it. I ask, O God, that we'd have hungry hearts today. Hungry hearts. A hungry soul. For You surely feed the hungry. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you would this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The reason we decided to go over this today is because in my series on deploying the armament of God and talking about the warfare of believers, this is right where we were going to be today. The breastplate of righteousness and the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. We're going to combine all those today into our series today entitled New Covenant Living. So I'd like you to go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look with me at verse 17. Accordingly, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Lo, the new has come. Accordingly, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Lo, the new has come. For some of us who have been Christians for a while, or whether we've not been a Christian very long at all, it's very easy to forget. In fact, I think very seldom do we grasp what it is that God actually did when we came to know Jesus Christ. We think about going to heaven. We think about having our sins forgiven. And usually, it stops right there. That's usually about all the farther that we go. But I want you to understand today that you are a lot more than just forgiven. A lot more than just forgiven. You know, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and on one of your worst days, and you wake up in the morning and go, man, I wish I was different. I sure wish my hair was different. I sure wish my eyes were a different color. In fact, I'm ugly. My little son, he's kind of cute. Sometimes the things he says, and one day he woke up in the morning and Kathy always keeps his hair combed, you know, really nice. And he walks in and he says, Dad, boy, when my hair hangs down like this, I'm just ugly, he says. I said, Jeremy, you're not ugly. I said, but, you know, if I don't fix my hair too, I probably don't look my best either. But, you know, with God, you always look your best. With God, you always look your best. And I want you to understand why this morning. Easy to say, but I want you to leave today absolutely sure that you understand what I'm talking about. Before you came to know Christ, we were dead in our sins, the Bible says. Dead. You were dead, men and women. People who do not know Christ are spiritually dead. And they walk around in the same shell that you and I walk around in. But when you came to know Christ, immediately you became brand new. When my children were born, I have three children, and when they were born, all of a sudden, from within my wife's womb came this little life. That little life had all of its little fingers and all of their little toes and their little eyes in place, their little nose in place, their ears in place. They were as human as they're ever going to get. They were as my flesh, as much as my flesh they're ever going to be. When you came to know Jesus Christ, you were instantly transformed into a brand new individual that is no longer a sinful individual. You were transformed into a righteous man or woman. A brand new creation. I'd like you, if you would, to turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. You know, this is so important that you understand, because some of us, and you're going to be able to relate to this, the importance of this in your life. I don't know every one of you here today, and I don't know what kind of a family life you had, whether it was good or bad. Maybe in your estimation it was bad. In my estimation, it might have been good. I guess it all is kind of relative, depending on what you compare it with. But if you were raised in a situation, or you had older brothers and sisters that were cruel, and someone told you all your life, you know, you're never going to be you're nothing. You're not going to amount to anything. You're not going to amount to a hill of beans. And some of you, I'm sure, have had that experience. You know what happens? You grow up and you don't amount to a hill of beans. Because that's what someone's been telling you all your life. That's the way someone's been treating you all your life. And you grow up and you had all the potential to be a successful human being. You had the potential to be different. But you never realized that potential. Because someone was telling you all your life that it couldn't happen. And certainly without Christ, it never does happen. But God is a different kind of a daddy. God is a different kind of a father. And I want you to look at this verse, in verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will has not yet been made known, what we will be. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. If you don't understand that you are no longer a son of the devil, that you're no longer a son of human origin, you will never have an exciting, thrilling life as a Christian. You once were, and you remember we went through this in our series about the devil. Jesus told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning, and you lie just like your father. Some of you know a lot more about biology and genetics than I do. I don't know anything about them. I just know that when that sperm and that egg unite, and there's a passing on of certain types of genes, that I don't know anything about gene to me is frosted. That's about all I know about genes. But I can reflect in your faces, and if I hung around with your parents long enough, I could point to thing after thing that you do just like them, and you reflect them. And from their gene pool, you were created. From God's gene pool, you were recreated. You have a brand new father. And you have a brand new origin. And your origin is from God. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, to be born again means to be born again. Something totally new that you've never been before. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and verse 26. I want to show you the same thing, Galatians 3. Because I'm trusting that you will write these down, and you're going to go home and check that speaker out. I mean, I wonder what he's saying. It's true. I never heard anything quite like that. You look it up yourself. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says, for through your faith in Christ, you are all sons of God. Now, there's not one of us in this room who would doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. But oftentimes there's a lot of doubt as to your sonship. You are a son and daughter of the living God. And there's only one way, my friend, that you can be the son or daughter of the living God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. There's only one way that you can be a son or daughter of God. And that is, if you are like God in every way. I am like my Father in every way. I'm not my Father, and that's not what I'm saying today. Let no one go away saying, Mark Darling says we are gods. You are not gods. I am not my Father. I am like my Father. I am like my Father. And there is no way you'd be a son or daughter of God unless Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 is true. Since then, we have been pronounced righteous through faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does that mean? Pronounced righteous. I know most of you personally, and I know many of you, we have this complex that we go through life. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to show you this morning that you're not a sinner anymore. You are a saint. And the Bible refers to you as being a saint over and over again. And do you know what the word saint means? It means holy one, pure and blameless. If you are not a saint, you are not a Christian. If you are not a holy one, if you are not blameless before God, you do not know God. That's all there is to it. He only has children that are pure and righteous through and through. And God remade you on the inside. God says you've been pronounced righteous. Turn the page. Look at verse 9. Now then, I'm reading from the Berkeley version this morning. Yours is going to say justified. The word justified means what I am saying. That's why I didn't want to use that this morning. To be justified means to be pronounced righteous. It says in verse 9, Now then, as we have been declared righteous by His blood, how much sure is it that we should be saved by Him from God's wrath? You have been pronounced righteous because of the blood of Christ. And you know, it's interesting, we go through life, and whether you like it or not, whether you feel it or not, you're righteous, and you can't do a thing about it. Do you understand? You can't do a thing about it. You can't change it. You can't stop it. You can't pervert it. You are righteous, and you're going to have to argue with God. You may say, well, I'm going to go up and talk to that Mark afterwards. I don't know how you can say that. Don't argue with me. You better argue with God. He's the one who said it, not me. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. And you know why you've been declared righteous? Because you are. God's not a liar. He doesn't call something a rock that's a piece of wood. God does not call a mountain when it's really an ocean. And God does not call you righteous unless you really are. That's the only way God would call you righteous. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 18. I just want to show you these verses about being a saint. A dead person is not a saint. Only a living person with God in him is a saint. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, granting you eyes of the heart so that you may know the nature of the hope to which you were called and what is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Do you know that's Brent and my greatest prayer? We pray this for you every week. That God would open your eyes, brother and sister, that you would understand what you really are. So few Christians today understand what they really are and what they've really become in Jesus Christ. And Paul is praying here, God, I am pleading that your eyes would be open, that you would understand the glorious inheritance that you have become to God, that the saints have become to God. You're a saint. Look at 5 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. I'm just going to sidetrack only for a moment to show you how Paul commands us not to sin. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. I just want to pause on that for just a moment in verse 1. I remember about, 3 years ago, my little daughter, God really brought this verse home in a unique way. my daughter Celeste, my little son had gotten hurt. And I think she was about 3 and a half at the time. This might have been 4 years ago. And Jeremy had gotten hurt. And Celeste walked over to him. Or no, he'd gotten his feelings hurt about something. And Celeste walked over to him, put her arm around him and said, "Honey, that's all right. Don't worry about it. It's all right." And I remember overhearing that and thinking to myself, where did my 3 and a half, 4-year-old daughter come up with that? I never told her to say that. And then I realized, well, her mother says that quite often. All my son did was imitate, all my daughter did was imitate her mother. The imitation principle. You are God's kids. And you are going to reflect God. And he says here in this verse, "And live in love as Christ also loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant scent. But immorality and every kind of impurity or greed should not so much as be mentioned among you." Why? Because it's so wicked? No! As is proper among saints. As is proper among saints. Saints don't go around doing that kind of stuff. Sinners do. Saints don't. Saints don't go around acting that way. You're different. Show it. You're different. God made you different. Turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 24. "You are a totally righteous person made in the righteous image of God." Romans chapter 5, or excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 24. Let's start with verse 20 so we get this whole passage together. "But this is not the way you have come to know Christ, if indeed you've heard about Him and have been taught in Him according to the truth." According to the truth as it is in Jesus. "That you are to rid yourself of the old nature with your previous habits, corrupted as is by lust. That you be renewed in your mental attitude. And that you put on the new nature that is created in God's likeness in genuine righteousness and holiness." This is why you've got to be renewed in your mental attitude. Because we don't believe this by nature. God's given you a brand new nature. We're going to look later this afternoon at what happened to your old nature, in case you're wondering. We're going to get into that later this afternoon. You won't want to miss it. Things Brent has shared this afternoon, you won't want to miss. It'll tie this all together. But right now, I want you to focus in on verse 24. "And that you be made new, that you put on the new nature that is created in God's likeness, genuine righteousness and holiness." Listen, there's not one of us here, all these creationists in the room today. You were created in the image of God. Evolution isn't true. You were created in God's image. But how many of you believe today that God remade you in the righteous, holy image of God? You go around so often our pathetic faces, and woe is me, I'm so bad, and oh God, I'm just a miserable sinner, oh please be merciful to me. You have been remade, and there's nothing you can do about it. Why don't you enjoy it? Why don't you believe it? Why don't you believe it with faith? God remade you, and you have been created in genuine likeness. Before, our likeness with God was not completely through and through. Adam was not the son of God. You are. You are sons and daughters of the living God. Because God actually came and He lives in you. And then God not only lived in you, but He had to clean you up. Because God cannot live in a wicked vessel. Or you don't understand anything about God. God cleaned you all up. He didn't clean you up. We're going to get to this later. He killed you. And He remade you. He didn't clean you up. He killed you. And He remade you. And you're righteous. I want you to look at another passage in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 24. Just a couple more verses, then we'll wrap up this morning. Just hang in there with me. Romans 4, verse 24. And start with verse 23. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sin and raised to life for our justification. Do you know that when God looks at your account with him, there's a credit, not a debit, a credit balance of righteousness. Righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. Not guilt, guilt, guilt. Not sin, sin, sin. But righteousness has been credited to your account. And again, my friend, there is nothing you can do about it. If you don't like it, take it up with God. God wants you to live in a newness of living. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Some of you have read this verse before and you're familiar with this verse, but I hope to share something with you, something a little different this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Did you know that there is no condemnation for you today? Not because you've been forgiven. And that's what you've tended to think. It's because God cannot condemn a righteous person. It's because every righteous requirement of the law you have met. As much as God has met it, you have met it. As righteous as God is, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very last verse of the book. 2 Corinthians 5. I hope that this is getting through to your mind, to your heart. Verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Do you know how righteous God is? He is as righteous as you are. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for you. How sinful was Jesus? How sinful was the Lord? He was more sinful when he died on the cross than you ever be. Only when he hit the cross. Only when he hit the cross. Not before. And right when he hit the cross, he took your sin, my sin, and that's three times as much as mine. And if you put everyone together in this room, that's a lot more than just mine alone. And if you put everyone together in the world, that makes a lot more sin on the Lord than there ever was on me. Now, do you understand? To the degree that he became that, that is to the same degree, brother and sister, you have become righteous. You are God's righteousness. You know why this is so important? Because most Christians I meet live their life like an ex-con. They've been pardoned. But always through their life follows the stigma of their crime. And that's how so many live. You walk around life, boy, it's so good to be out, it's so good to be free. But you walk around with the stigma of your crime hanging over your head. That is not the way God wants you to live. Do you see the way this changes your living? It changes the way you live. I wrote this down last night. God woke me up about 1 in the morning. I just couldn't sleep thinking about these things, and I knew I had to write this down or I'd forget this. We're more than just pardoned criminals. We have been made righteous saints. An ex-con carries around the stigma of his prison record. We do not. We are more than just forgiven. If you understand this, this would change your whole life. Most of you only experience what David experienced, and that was forgiveness. You're righteous, my friend. You're righteous. David was never like you. Moses was never like you. No one in the Old Testament had a thing that you have. You've got better promises. They were never remade. You've been remade in the image of God. And God lives in you. God never permanently lived in one of those guys. Not one. You have been made perfect, the Bible says. Do you understand the feeling that that can give you in your life? Some of you, you need to understand the forgiveness of God. You need to understand the love of God. You need to understand that God remade you. And you spend your days so often just dragging through life. You know? Oh, God. And you know why this is so important? Because if you don't believe me today, you'll never be able to experience the abundant life. Because you'll always be thinking of how incapable you are of living it. But you're not incapable. There's not one individual in this room who knows Jesus Christ that is incompetent. Your competency comes from God. And you've got everything you need. Everything. You're not lacking one spiritual blessing. As far as God's concerned, you're in heaven with Him right now. Colossians says, if we've been raised up with Christ, then get your mind on what's above. Who cares about the shell? Let me give you an example of an egg. I'll finish on this example. You take an egg. An egg is three parts, and a lot of times we've heard it used for the Trinity, but I like it for us. Okay? My little egg analogy. You take an egg. If you take a raw egg and a cooked egg, from the outside you cannot tell the difference. Especially if you cook it and then put it in the refrigerator and they're both cold. You don't know which is which. But I just want to let you know something. No matter what you think, no matter how hard you try to think different, this raw egg has been transformed into a fried one, into a cooked one, and you can't change it. You can't take it back to its raw state. It's cooked. You know what's identical about the raw one and the cooked one? The shell. Do you know what we do with the shells? We throw them away. Who cares about the shell? Why do you care about your shell? Why do you care about what you see out here? You've been cooked inside. And you can't ever uncook you. You see? You've been made. There's a transformation that's gone inside. And whether you can see it or not, it happened. And do you know all that God is trying to do in everything Paul writes? It's kind of like a little chick. You know, another thing is to take that little chick inside the egg. Then you get a raw one. Of course, you can't put a cold one because then they die. So you'd be able to tell the difference by the heat. But if you put all three of them in the sun, and one of them is the kind, you know, that they don't let whatever. I don't understand that. I never did understand how baby chickens were born. So someone can explain it to me later. But anyway. Anyway, I just remember working at this old country store in Sunbury, Iowa, and I used to have to put them in front of lights, you know, to see if there was, well, I think to see if it was dark or bloody or I can't remember what. But anyway, and you'd separate them. You wonder, I must have gave people the wrong eggs if I can't even remember what happened. Oh my goodness, can you imagine cracking open, a little chick falls out in the frying pan. Oh, a live chick, not a dead one. Well, anyway, that's what happened if someone cracked you open. A live righteous person would fall out. You see? And someday God's going to do that. It says that. It says that in Corinthians chapter 3 and in John that when He comes, crack, your old egg is going to crack and you're going to be transformed and reveal His glory. We're going to look at that this afternoon. But I want you to understand that little analogy. You'll never forget it. See? And that's what I want you to remember. You're a cooked egg. And even though that shell's the same, here's what begins to happen. If we could, if there was a way to do it, and I don't know a way to do it, I was going to try and really do this exciting experiment today, but I'm not good at experiments. But if I could take an egg and put a light inside the egg and then put the shell all back together, no cracks. And little by little, we began tapping on these eggs. See, the raw one we tap and a goo starts to come out. And then we tap on the other one and it starts to crack. What would begin to happen? Little rays of light would shoot out from every direction. You see? That's all that's happening in your Christian life. This shell is insignificant. It's nothing. And we're going to look at that. What's inside of you is God Himself and a righteous man or woman. And what happens is we're learning to put on that new nature. Put it on and people begin to see it. As those rays of light begin to shoot out through the eyes and through the mouth, through your ears, you know. You ever see the light bulb, the guy pushes the light, and the light comes out his ears? That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get out of you so people see you. Boy, I'll tell you, you have problems with your self-image. If you believe what I tell you today, if you get the tape and listen to it over and over again, you'll never have problems again. I don't have a self-image problem. I don't even worry about it. I mean, I'm righteous. There's nothing you can do about it. If you don't like me, lump me. I don't care. You want to condemn me? Try it. You just go to God and try to get Him to condemn me. See what happens. Try to condemn yourself. You see, you can only condemn a guilty person. You're not guilty. you're not guilty. And the reason you're not guilty is not because God just forgave you and let you off the hook. God doesn't let people off the hook. God remade you, and now you're as righteous as He is. You're as sinless as God is. You've been waiting for that all morning. I said it. You're as sinless as God is in your new man. Now, don't anyone run out of here today and go, Mark said you can't sin, because we're going to talk about that this afternoon. But I what I'm saying. First of all, I want you to understand what I'm saying. To be righteous means to be righteous. If you committed before God one sin, you would go to hell. The Bible says he who stumbles in one point of the law is guilty of all of it. There is no way before God you could ever be guilty or you're going to hell. So you need to understand what I'm telling you today. In the relationship you have with God, the way God operates and sees you, you are righteous. There's no way you can change that. There is never any condemnation for you. You're holy and you're pure and you're blameless. And Ephesians tells us that God, we are going to stand before God free from accusation and without blame. For Jude, the song we sing all the time, tells us that we're going to stand before Him with great joy, blameless and holy. You have nothing to fear if you know Jesus Christ, because you are just like Him. 1 John says, as He is, so are we in this world. Right now, not when you get to heaven. See, a lot of you are waiting for it to happen in heaven. You're not going to be any more in heaven than you are now. The only difference is the shell is going to be cracked and gone. And you're going to appear in glory in a new body. That's the only difference. You're not going to get more of God, and you're not going to get more righteous, and you're not going to get more forgiven, because He's already made you all that already right now. Let's pray, and then we have a few announcements this morning. Lord, we thank You this morning for what You've done in our lives. We thank You, God, for the glorious change that You've wrought in our lives. You've done it, and there's nothing we can do but offer You praise and thanksgiving for what You've done in our lives. I just bless You, Lord, so much that You're a gracious God, that You're a loving God. And God, I thank You so much that You did not just let us off the hook. You did not just forgive us. It's one thing, Lord, to be a forgiven sinner. It's another to be a righteous saint of God. Lord, thank You so much for the newness of life that that opens up to us, for the power, the confidence that that gives us before God, that we're His kids, and we cannot change that. We are just like our Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord. I pray You've got to open the minds of each individual here today, Lord. I can sense that. I can tell that. You've got to open the hearts today of men and women here in this room, that they would grasp with their mind the truth as it really is in Jesus Christ. Open up our hearts and minds, O God. Give us hearts that believe. For the righteous live by faith. We see this through the eyes of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.